We got a little glimpse into what has been going on. I don't know how many of you guys are aware of what has been going on, but a lot has been going on. And there's kind of different ways in which this is going. It's not just one-dimensional. We see parents, and we see the teachers, and we see the children. And so God is working. And I'm sure there are many other stories that possibly we haven't heard of, or maybe you have, but you know, there are stories out there that we can learn and hear and listen to. Today we're taking some time to talk about this because in some ways I think we view children's ministry possibly as kind of a side ministry. And I know a church couldn't function if we only had children's ministry all the time, but I'd like to spend some time today thinking about how children's ministry is a pivotal part. And it's not just something that happens on the side, but it's something that affects all of us at all levels. And so with that, I'd like to just dive right into the scriptures. And, well, I don't know if I'll finish in time, but we're going to talk about this because it's okay, right? Okay, I have precedent for this, so. So Jesus himself addresses this view of children, how people tend to view children as something that maybe shouldn't be a hindrance to the main worship or the main teachings. And we see this in Matthew 18, 1 through 5. So if you guys could turn with me to Matthew 18, 1 through 5. And I'm sorry, kids, there's no fun presentations. There's no wild motions as I tell stories this week. I'm sorry. I was going to tell a joke, though. I was going to tell a joke, but I don't know if I should. All right. So everyone, if you could turn with me to, fine. The joke is, and it was actually told during one of my sermons by Elizabeth. Where is she? Where's Elizabeth? There she is. Okay. By Elizabeth, who is the shortest person in the Bible? And this was told during my sermon, mind you. Elizabeth, who's the shortest person in the Bible? Yeah, Noel. That's exactly right. No. Nehemiah. Okay. On to... See, this is why I didn't incorporate, okay? All right. Matthew 1 through 5. I'm just going to read from it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child, whom he placed among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a humble place, becoming like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So in preparing for this sermon, I had two verses, and I was trying to decide between, and as you can see, I went with both, if you see on the bulletin. And this was the first one. And in this, we see the disciples asking, who is the greatest? And a shocking turn of events, it's not the most faithful disciple. It's not the oldest disciple. It's not the most, you know, suave or whatever, charismatic disciple. But it's little children. And the two things that we can see from this verse, the two ways in which little children are important and significant in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Christ, is that we must become like little children and that we must humble ourselves like them. And the second is that we must welcome them. We must welcome little children. And in contemplating and thinking about this, I began to ask myself, how do I become like a child and how do I welcome little children? As a pastor of children's and youth ministry, I think about this question somewhat more than you guys might. And that's something that I've asked the people who share today to think about. How have we learned from children's ministry? So today, I'd like to start off with a question that I found myself asking from this verse. And I'm going to put it in the words in a way in which maybe possibly we can understand better. And I think we can understand it better by asking, how is children's and youth ministry a part of my spiritual transformation? And now spiritual transformation is something we've been talking about And I'll go more into that later. But I like to ask it this way because in this verse we see Jesus is asking us to welcome children. And welcoming is not just, I think, hi, how you doing? Come to our church. But I think he was talking about the circle of his disciples that were gathered around him, trying to learn from him, trying to be like him. And we see Jesus is saying, broaden that circle and incorporate children. And when you're disciples, and when you're in that circle, being a disciple of Christ, you have a say. And you are a part of each other's growth and change. And so I think we can ask this question from this verse. How is children's and youth ministry a part of my own spiritual transformation? So that is a question that we're going to kind of look at today. And I'm going to start with, I'm going to go by life groups, just because that's how I organized it. But parents, we're going to start with parents. So this, I think, is a question that you guys might ask a lot, or something along the lines of, how can I raise my child right? How can I make sure that, you know, my walk with God also includes my children? And so this is something that maybe is familiar to you. In previous sermons before, I think it's been mentioned, and in our teachers' meetings, we've actually been going through this book called Almost Christian. And it's about a study that was done. It's called the National Study of Youth and Religion. And it's pretty much looking into what is the state of adolescent faith today. And so they do extensive study from 2003 to 2005. And their conclusion is that today, most teens are open to religion, but not very many of them are committed to one. Many of them think religion is good and, you know, they're accepting of it, but they don't find themselves devoted to a religion or to a faith. And this is not the surprising thing about her book, although anybody who's worked with youth kind of know that this is something that is a growing mentality, that there's a growing lack of commitment, you know, apathy to a lot of things, and so that's not as surprising. But the thing that the author Kendra Creasy Dean says is that the state of the spiritual state of the youth today is a direct result of the faith of their parents and mentors. She puts it this way: the religious and spiritual choices of American teenagers. I'll let her let that out. The religious and spiritual choices of American teenagers echo with astonishing clarity the religious and spiritual choices of the adults who love them. Lackadaisical faith is not a youth people's issue, but ours. She goes also to talk about how youth workers, there's more youth workers, they last longer in their ministries, and there are more programs, and yet the end result is the same. And so she proposes and she shows that this is not a problem of the youth, but it's a direct result of the people who love and are supposed to care for them. And so this leads us, and this ties in to my second verse that I was contemplating. And so if we could turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 22:6. I think you guys were all prepared. I don't see anyone flipping through. Okay, Proverbs 22:6. And it says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, Proverbs is a tricky book. It's not a straightforward thing. When you read this, this is not meant to be a guarantee. Okay? So, Proverbs, as you guys know, are just sayings. And the book of Proverbs is not about promises, it's not about stories, it's actually about the concept of wisdom and how to live wisely. Now, wisdom is also another hard idea. It's one of those things that, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around. What is wisdom? What does it mean to be wise? The commentary writer that I was reading from, that Pastor Jin recommended, Tremper Longman, he says that wisdom is skill in living. And I think I remember either Pastor Jin or Pastor Sam saying that before. So maybe you've heard it before, but wisdom is skill in living. And he says, it is practical knowledge that helps one know how to act and how to speak in different situations. Wisdom entails the ability to avoid problems and the skill to handle them when they present themselves. Wisdom includes the ability to interpret other people's speech and writing in order to react correctly to what they're saying to us. Wisdom is a skill in living, how to avoid problems, deal with them when they come, and interact with each other correctly. But wisdom also in Proverbs is framed in a context of a relationship, from a father to a son. And this is not just any kind of relationship. It's not a boss to a coworker. It's from a very deep and secure relationship. So Proverbs, in some ways, is teaching and learning wisdom through a close and secure relationship. That's the book of Proverbs. And that's where we find our verse. And so from that, we see that we are learning wisdom. Start off children on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I think another way we could see what this verse might be saying is that, in a very simple way, I think you guys, well, when I say it, you guys will be like, oh yeah, okay, I get that, is that the teaching and guidance we receive when we're younger matters. Right? Start off children on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. The teaching and guidance we receive when we're young matters. And maybe even more, it shapes us to become who we are. And this is not something groundbreaking or new, but I think it's something worth contemplating. But another way, if we read this, right, in another way, it might serve even as a warning. Because I think all of us look at this verse and we might be taking the positive. If we teach our children good things for God's will, then they will, by the end of their lives, they will not turn from it. But if we kind of tweak the way that we read it, we could almost see it as a warning. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. How we teach children when they are young matters, but doesn't always necessarily mean that we're teaching them the right things. And so for parents, I think this proverb and the question that we began with, how is children's and youth ministry a part of your own spiritual transformation? I think it's in knowing that the way that you raise your children matters. And in that sense, we can no longer do, as Benjamin Franklin says, do as I say and not as I do. We can no longer do that. And that's not something we can afford to do. Because if you start, the way that you start off your children, that is where they will end, right? That is how they will end. They will not turn from it. Okay, so I'm going to add a little funniness to this. In the season premiere of Modern Family, there's these one couple is trying to get their little baby to change her ways because she has a problem with sharing. And it's getting to the point where it's getting pretty violent. And anytime any other baby sits on the dad's lap, she's like, my daddy. And so they're trying to figure out, what is the problem? Is it too much coddling? So then they try not to coddle her as much. But then one day, one of the parents goes to school and the teacher says, well, you know, sometimes these issues, not really about coddling. It's about one of the parents having an inability to share. And then at that moment, you can almost imagine it with me, there's flashbacks. You see the dad going, my chicken. And going, my pillow. Daddy's pen. And then you see why the little baby's like, my daddy. Right? This is kind of a funny example, but kids know the difference between what we say and how we actually live. And the truth of the matter is, they're going to go by how we live rather than what we say. And so, for parents, and I want to emphasize this for every group that I'm going to be talking about, each group that I'm talking about, the other group can learn from. But I'm addressing this to parents. Parents, now is the time to re-examine what it is that you say you believe and how you are actually living that out in your life. And this is exactly, I think, and I haven't been part of the top secret meetings of Pastor Jin and Pastor Sam, but this is, I think, what we're doing through our sermon series. Okay, I'm sorry, I've said too much already. But this is what we're doing in our sermon series, the Life Transformation Project. We are taking these not very new concepts, and we're actually taking time to think about it because we want to make sure that what we're saying and how we're living match. And that's important. The choices that we make, are they, and these are the four things that we're focusing on, the choices in our life that we make, not just what we say, but the choices, how we live it out every day when you go to the grocery store, when you go to work, when you go to school. Is it God-centered, Christ-exalting, Spirit-empowered, life-transforming? It's a very simple concept, but we want to match up our choices with what we say, how we live our life. And we're not meant to do this alone. Last week, we spent some time after service praying together, and we didn't ask for prayer requests. We just spent some time just praying for the other person, asking them, how can I be a part of that person's transformation? Because this transformation, yes, it takes self-examination, but it also takes community. And so how is children's and youth ministry a part of your own spiritual transformation, parents? It's in living out your faith in a wise way, in a way that is a model to your children. Because the way that you start them off is the way that they will end. The next group that I'm going to be addressing is the singles. Singles are those without children. And singles. I'll just say singles. What? Say singles. but, I mean, this also, what I've been saying also applies to you, I think. But I like to, and I want you guys to think that that was also meant for you. But also, I think, I'd like to say Proverbs 22, although you kind of see it from parent to child, I think this also extends to you. Because although the style was written from father to son, the way in which it was written was not meant to confine the relationship just between parents and children. It was meant to show that wisdom, that teaching happens in the context of a relationship. One of the most influential people in my life has been my aunt. And she's in that weird age range where she's like cool enough, just old enough to be cool, still, I mean, young enough to be cool, and I wanted to be like her, and then old enough for me to really respect and be afraid of her when she got mad. So, and she's changed the way that I am, you know. She's helped me, she's shaped the music that I listen to, the clothes that I wear, you know. I think you guys might not agree that she changed that in a better way for me, but she changed, she really had a lot of say in my life. And even now, even till this day, when I have decisions in my life, I listen to her. But she wasn't there for me as much as my parents. She wasn't there with me every second, and most times I was like begging her to spend time with me because she was so busy with her life. And so when I think about the time ratio between how much my parents spent with me and how much she spent with me, I mean, it's just very little. And yet she had such an impact on the way, in the way that who I became. And I think for some of you here, you might be thinking of someone in your life too. Oh yeah, that youth teacher, or that guy, that counselor, or you know, my aunt too, or you know, whoever. And you guys might be thinking of that. And so I like to say the main thing I think here is that you also are part of starting off these children on the right path. Yes, the context is in framed between a parent, but I think that you guys are also part of these children's, the children growing and learning. Because parents are not, it's not just the parents' job here at a church to raise the children. It's all of our jobs. And as we see from Grace, she learned so much. And I think I can say the same thing too from these children. But not only that, I think these kids look up to Grace in a different way than possibly her parents. And so whether or not you like it, you might actually be in that role already. So what are you going to do with that? How are you going to use that? So how is children's ministry, youth ministry, a part of your own spiritual transformation? It's in knowing that you must welcome these children into your own spiritual growth. It's in realizing that you are part of starting these children off on the right path. And this is a challenge. Challenge to stop and think about how you might influence these kids. And once again, it's not, you don't have to be a parent. Just be you. Because that's what they want. They don't want their parents all the time, as I see in youth ministry. And it's also an exhortation to be like the parents and re-examine how you're living. Because you're not just, you know, floating through here. You might actually make an impact on these kids. So that is how they might be a part of your transformation. And the last group that we're going to talk about are the kids. Yay, kids, we get to talk about... Sorry, there's nothing fun in here. But how is children's ministry a part of your own transformation? I mean, come on, that just seems like, okay, I get it. I mean, I'm the recipient of it. And so I'd like to kind of, you know, say yes, that's part of it. How is children's ministry part of your transformation? We want you to know, youth and children, that we want to see you grow and thrive here. That these group of people around you, and you can even take a look around if you're not bored, but these people want to see you succeed. These people want to see you comforted when you're sad. These group of people want to make sure that you have the support you need when you feel like you don't have any. We want you to know that. We want to see you grow. We're not just here to... We don't want to... I mean, babysitting's fine, and I love taking care of kids. But that's just not the extent. We want you to know there's so much more, and there are resources for here for those who want it. You have questions, you have problems, come to one of us. That's how we want you to think about it. But I think there's more. As Matthew, the first verse that we looked at, Matthew, points out, we have something to learn from you. And so I get to talk about Harry Potter because, you know, I only get to come up here once in a while. In Harry Potter, there are these things called house elves, okay? And extra points for someone who knows the name of a house elf. Okay, Young. Yes, there we go. You know. And so there's house elves, right? And pretty much they're just like servants, and they're wizard servants, and they have magical powers, but all they do is clean and stuff, and they're not really that important. But one of the most powerful wizards, not the powerful, most powerful, but one of the, you know, really powerful evil wizards designs this cave, and he puts a treasure in there, and he doesn't want anyone to get it. And he designs it so well that the most powerful wizard can't get into this cave without playing by his rules and thus weakening himself. But the crazy thing is that these little house elves, they can actually go in and out of it like they would go out in and out of their own house. And in fact, that's how the treasure is eventually stolen. I think in some ways, we might be underestimating children because they are small like house elves. No, but because we might be underestimating children in the same way that this evil wizard underestimated this house elf. That we just don't think that they might, you know, be significant. But they are. And that's what Matthew addresses. We have something to learn from the children. We have something to learn from the youth. And we didn't plan this, but, you know, Gracie talked about it in exactly the way that I was thinking, you know. We have something to learn from you. And so children, I mean, and youth, you know, part of your spiritual transformation is to know that your voice matters. And in some ways, you can speak and touch the lives of adults in a way that no one can. Right? I remember when I was little, sometimes my parents would fight, and I'd be really scared, but then I would just say, like, I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but I would just get the courage, and I would say, stop fighting, in a very small voice. And for some reason, they'd look at me, and they'd listen. And it wasn't because I said it in the best way. It's not because I was like strong and firm and just, you know, brazen. But it was because my voice was small and vulnerable and kind of helpless. And that way, I think youth and children, you can speak into our lives in a way that very few people can. And we might actually listen. So, children, how can you be a part? How is children's ministry and youth ministry a part of your own spiritual transformation, youth? It's by learning. I think it's for you guys to know that you can learn all you can here. We want to see you grow. But it's also to know that you guys can be an encouragement to us and that you could be a voice at church. So I've repeated this a million times, I think, but how is children's and youth ministry a part of your spiritual transformation? Matthew, I think the book of Matthew and meditating upon it really led me to ask this question. But I also think it gives us the first steps in how to accomplish this. And that is by humbling ourselves like children. We must always come to him as a child, knowing that our salvation, anything that we do, even the wisdom that we have, is solely from God. May we come to him, abandoning our sense of pride, clinging to him, asking him for transformation so that we may transform others, and letting every part of Christ's body partake of this growth. Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in this worship with your body. Every part is significant. Every part matters. And I pray that we would think and dwell upon how we matter and how we might listen to others. May you make us into a church that is transformed from the inside out. In your name we pray. Amen.